Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast. And my goodness, they're doing well. We're at number one in the charts. We know I made that up, but I could just lie. And you go, wow, this is brilliant. In fact, let's keep it going. Number one in the charts for the fifth week running. So keep up the good work, everyone, or keep lying like I am. Anyway, we begin this podcast with Big Al and Ollie on that horrific injury to Andre Gomez and Son Dredgaard. And straight after that, we'll hear Adrian Durham's response.
And just because something happens like that, you can't say there was intent or, you know, the injury is so bad that you can now give it a... That was horrific. The poor Son, you know, as if he meant that.
Well, he'll be... people will remember him for that. That wasn't his fault.
No. It was a freak accident, but, you know, wow. Let's hope that the surgeons could sort that out, you know.
Do you think Spurs will appeal that? Because it's never a red card... let's forget what's happened to Gomez. And by the way, I'm not just being flippant.
Yeah.
It's horrible, right? Yeah. But that was an accident. It wasn't Son's fault.
No, I totally agree with you, Al. Hopefully they'll have the common sense to look at that. But with the statement they made after, you can hardly appeal it. You know, it's almost as if they're making up things as they go, just, you know, to cover themselves. This life ain't about covering yourself. If you're a referee, you've got to stand up and be counted. And yes, we know you're going to try and, you know, you just got to go and talk to the rugby referees. It's so embarrassing when you look at how brilliant the rugby referees are using the VAR that they use, and they've been doing it 12 years. But God's sake, we're having humans making errors how to use it. So just go and sit down and ask them. Don't make it up. You've got no idea.
Yeah. Well, look, the red card issue by the on-field referee. Here we go. The on-field referee, crikey. Mm. For Son, was for endangering the safety of a player, which happened as a consequence of his initial challenge. Well, I don't get that. But absolute tosh.
I wonder, you know, it's a shame we can't speak to Martin Atkinson this morning and ask him what he feels.
Well, why did he have a yellow card out? Why did he have a yellow and then change his mind? Because suddenly he went, oh my God, he's broke, you know, this is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wouldn't have known which one to show that red to, you know, because really the collision that caused it was Oreo coming in.
And we start with the breaking news coming out of Everton. They say Andre Gomez has now had his surgery on that ankle injury picked up against Spurs yesterday. They say it's gone extremely well. The club adds they expect him to make a full recovery.
I know the Spurs fans absolutely love Heung-min Son. Okay, mm-hmm. He is arguably their favourite player, and he smiles a lot. He's loved by the fans. He's got a huge following, and they love the way he plays as well. He's a very good footballer. That's not even up for debate. But even the Spurs tweet that informed us last night during the game of his red card called him Sonny. Okay, that's. I mean, he's like everybody's mate. Okay, so it's almost like the parent of the bully at school. My kid wouldn't do that. It's like everybody connected with Spurs. Oh, Sonny wouldn't do that. Well, he did do it, I'm afraid. And whilst nobody can say that he intended the injury that actually Gomez ended up with, which was horrific, he didn't intend that at all.
No.
But he certainly intended to foul him. And what did he think he was doing? He's fouling him. I know, I'll foul him, but I'm not going to injure him. I'm just fouling him. What do you think a foul's going to do?
Staying with the awful injury to Andre Gomez, Freshbox had their view with Simon Jordan, Danny Kelly and Sean Custis alongside Jason Burr.
And we had about 6 weeks ago, you remember, Sean, there was a picture after Tyson Fury's last fight of that terrible cut he got by his eye. And one of the papers, I think it was the Mail, to give them credit, had sent a photographer there and had got the picture of what was essentially his skull sticking out through the scar. And we talked a lot about what is acceptable in newspaper journalism in terms of putting pictures on the front, back page, etc. Let me just give you the scoreline on this regarding the injury to Gomez, who, of course, we're all very pleased to hear, has had a successful operation today, and good luck to the lad. I can't stand that kind of long-term injuries with players. It's just a terrible thing that happens. The graphic photograph of his, let's be honest, his foot at right angles to where it should be, was on the back page of The Sun and The Mirror. It's on the inside of the Daily Mail and The Telegraph. Some papers, including The Guardian, chose not to use it at all. I'll start with you, Sean, because it's actually your day job these days. What do you think kind of discussions were had? Were you there for the discussion?
No, I wasn't, because I was just returning. But I know the kind of discussions that we have about these sort of pictures. And I would say, over the years, I think newspapers have gone slightly softer with regard to how they show a horror injury. I remember the Seamus Coleman one, who, of course, he went to see Son after this game. When he got injured, we used a picture from a very wide angle where you could see the injury, but from a distance, you could actually see how his leg was bent. And that struck me as if there can be a good way to do it, to show exactly how badly injured he was without zooming in on it. But I can remember, I distinctly remember back in 2000, the front page, I was on the Express at the time, the front page of our pullout was Luke Nillis colliding with Richard Wright. It showed his leg completely bent, a massive picture on the front there. I wasn't editing that paper at the time, but that's how it did it. Nobody batted an eyelid about the fact you did that. We've gone away from that slightly of doing graphic content. I was looking at a few websites today, though, and if you flag it, beware graphic content, a lot of the websites are showing sort of lots of injuries, horror injuries, and showing all the pics of this. I was slightly curious about why TV decided not to show it at all.
Yeah.
Because I think you do have to get the context of what happened to see it right through, to show properly why Son, in my view, was unlucky.
You've got a spectrum here of trying to be oversensitive to people's feelings, Jason. And the other end is people saying, warning, contains graphic content. That's just clickbait, isn't it? Let's be honest. You're just saying, we've got the stuff here that you're looking for.
Well, you can't put on the back page of a newspaper, warning, graphic content, right next to the picture which you've seen in front of your own eyes. You can do it on a website, on the first photo, warning you that, you know, if you're going to click, this is what you're going to get. I see your point, though.
Jason, I think you've been through this yourself in your career.
Yeah, I mean, years and years ago, I was a news editor of The Independent, editing the paper that day, in fact, and there was a assassination in Holland. A politician was shot dead in the street, and I used the picture on the front page of him lying dead in the street, which was a mistake, actually, with hindsight. I was younger.
Pimfontein, wasn't it?
Yeah, Pimfontein. Yeah. I was younger. I thought it was an amazing image. It was so dramatic. The incident was so dramatic. I just wasn't thinking through the effect it would have on people in the morning when they looked at that. I mean, we didn't get an awful lot of complaints about it, but I just thought, with hindsight myself, it wasn't necessary to be quite so graphic on the front page. And I think the older I've got and the more sort of into this business I've got, I tend to err on the side of caution much more. And with this incident in particular, I didn't think you needed to actually show the ankle of what happened to his foot. And I think, actually, for me, the reaction of the players holding their heads and looking so horrified is more dramatic. You can see in their faces how bad it is.
On now to the mid-morning show with Jim White and Natalie Sawyer. And Danny Murphy was saying that Pep Guardiola, or Guardiola, no one actually knows the answer to that, even Pep himself. Anyway, he was saying that Pep will regret his comments made about Mane's diving.
I don't think he went into that with that in his head. I think he was just triggered by a question about the result at Villa Park, and it's just come out. I think with hindsight, he might look back and think, wish I hadn't said that. And I don't know him to say that, but I would be thinking, if I was him, I'd think, last thing I want to do is wind up the best player in the Premier League at the moment before we play him next week. My experience, players generally don't get too bothered about what opposition managers say about them. Tends to be water off a duck's back. And Mane's playing incredibly well anyway. But if it does spur him on a little bit more, why take the risk?
Staying with the mid-morning show, and Jim White had Richard Keogh's agent, Kostovis, on the show. This is what he had to say.
I think it could actually become quite a big can of worms. There's a lot of issues that would have to get considered should this result go in Derby's favour. I mean, there'll be players who are in difficult positions at their football club who may be a little bit older, less market value on a lot of money. I mean, these are scenarios you have at every football club in the world. Yeah, should they start wrapping themselves up in cotton wool to avoid any situations like this? I don't really want to kind of specifically mention any players and give any examples, but this could make a lot of players in that position very nervous. The decision was made by them. They closed that door when they made that decision, and since that decision has been made, my phone hasn't rang. So there's not much more I can add to that. I'm a football agent. I don't block anyone from my phone, so if they ring, I will answer my phone, and there'll be a conversation, of course.
On now to Paul and Andy, or Hawksby and Jacobs. And, of course, Mondays mean a couple of nurses on site because John Motson was in the studio. I don't know if John Motson is in this part of the podcast, but nevertheless, even if he's not, bear in mind there were two nurses on standby because the combined age reached over 309.
6 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Now, I've got a theory. A lot of people have wondered why the referees aren't using the monitor.
Yeah.
And it came to me, actually, because I was thinking, is it because some of the older refs need glasses to watch TV, watch the telly? It wouldn't look good if Martin Atkinson had to put his specs on. It'd be like Des Lynam if he had to sort of put them on and that's something serious. So I thought he could have the Larry Grayson style on with a string.
With this, what, with like a little cord?
little cord.
Would be good. The, I mean, they must have eye test referees. I know we've had all the old...
I'm being facetious.
Oh, no, but maybe you are, maybe you're not. I mean, as you said, once you're getting sort of closer to your 50s, people need a pair of readers, don't they?
They do.
They might be all right from long distance and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's it. You know,
so they have to have like real 20/20 vision then, referees?
Well,
do you
I would
think?
Have thought they do.
How
yeah.
stringent is the eye test, do you think?
Well, actually, it's stringent as every test. I mean, the one thing you couldn't have a referee with glasses. I know they're sponsored by well known opticians, but
yeah.
it would look a bit ridiculous, wouldn't it? I actually couldn't think of anybody younger than Larry Grayson that wears those string things, apart from Jenny Murray, the presenter of Woman's Hour.
Yeah, you couldn't think of
a first mention for her on TalkSport.
That
I feel.
Would suggest that they're kind of slightly dying out then, glasses on a string. There must be someone else. Who yeah. else famous wears their glasses? What about your man off Antiques Roadshow, whatever it's called? What's the one in the afternoon?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tim Wanacott. He has
yeah.
them on a string. Again, he's of a certain age, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he
not
is.
Many of the kids. I don't think Raheem Sterling has his readers on a string.
No,
I don't think he
wears readers, to be really honest.
You're listening to TalkSport Daily.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Back now to the press box. The boys were talking about the Rugby World Cup final and, of course, that defeat.
and this is going to be rather mean-spirited. I'd like to see English cricket win the World Cup. I'd like to see rugby win the World Cup so we start to show up English football for its failings over the last 50 or 60 years because we've got the best domestic league, yet we don't have enough players coming through, we don't have enough English managers, and every excuse around English football, whether it's foreign investment, foreign owners, foreign coaches, foreign players, has been laid at the door of English football rather than the fact that English players don't apply themselves in the way they should
do. Why do we always want to use rugby to teach football a lesson?
I don't want rugby. I want every other sport that's being successful.
It should show football that, you know, when, oh, players always go, yes, kind sir, yes, Mr. Referee, oh, the footballers can
because
learn a lot
a culture
from that.
And all in rugby, isn't there?
Yeah, but
there's a culture in rugby.
Yeah, meanwhile, even respect, they're scratching even, each other's
even,
eyes out.
Even respect towards authority on the pitch.
Why do football have to be bashed? Why does it
I don't think they have to be bashed. I think they have
football,
to be...
Oh, that taught the footballers
I think with
lesson.
The nature of attention on football, with the money that goes into football, I think we should and could expect a little bit more than we've got from English football.
Well, I'll tell you where Jones can learn a little bit. He could learn a little bit about how Gareth Southgate conducts himself after certain matches, because when a lot of people have picked up on the Tetchy exchange after.
Oh, you want a good loser, do you?
No. They were. No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. They were asking him for an explanation about why he thought it went wrong or where he thought it went wrong.
Yeah.
And I recognise he's hurting and he's also lost the 2003 World Cup. Mm-hmm. I really understand that. But it was, I've got no idea. You're the experts. You write about it, mate. Eddie, in a few weeks' time, if you reflect on it, will you be able to give us an explanation there? No, I've got no idea. And I find that annoying, I've got to admit. Yeah. I accept,
yeah,
you know, we've
I
got
agree.
To that he, I think he has a bit of a duty to say, you know what, it was obvious to even casual watchers,
yes,
the scrum wasn't working out. You know, we lost too many penalties caused by scrums. And because we failed to win the scrums, and that's a bit where it went wrong. If you could have just said that, but oh no, he's got this edge with the press.
Yeah.
And he almost wanted to put them down. Well, you explain it, you're the experts. No, you're the coach of England, you tell us.
Yeah, I mean, last week everyone was writing about him as if he was a second coming, and what can everyone learn from him? He loses the game. I can't learn anything from him because he didn't tell us.
That's how tight the margins are. That's what happens, unfortunately.
I don't think the media are judge, jury, and executioners. I think you like to be. I think you have an opinion
you
that
are
you can.
The media,
no,
by
I'm
the way.
Operating in a certain way as a pundit within the confines of it. I'm not.
I love the way you always distance yourself where you don't. We don't like what's being written. Oh well, I'm not really part of.
No,
that.
What really gets me when a coach says
the same stand. By the way,
what really gets me when a coach says. What gets me when a coach says what Sean says. I completely agree. When you ask a coach a question like, "Where did it go wrong?" he says to you, "Well, you're the expert." Okay, fine. I'll write my opinion. I'm giving you the opportunity to tell me your opinion that might shape my opinion.
Well,
if you refuse to take the opportunity, that's your fault.
Imagine if you said that to an American sports journalist or of a senior coach.
If he doesn't want to tell me, then fine, that's his lookout. I'm given the opportunity to shape my opinion. If he doesn't want to do that, then fine, I'll write what I want anyway.
I then ask you the question because, on one hand, as you say, he's being slightly tetchy. I get it. You know, he expected to win that match and he didn't win it. And then the next, he started his campaign to get the next 4 years as well as the manager. And when he's going to have to rely on the journalist being largely on his side.
I don't think he's always too worried about that, I must admit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't pay huge amounts of attention. He's actually quite engaging company. I've met him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's quite engaging company. Chats about all sorts of things. A lot of the press lads who've been out with him for a beer will say he was engaging company.
Why has he got to rely on the media,
but then? He doesn't have to rely on it.
No, he doesn't have to rely on it. But
it helps if you have the media on your side.
Well, no, what helps is if you win rugby games.
No, it helps.
What you guys
also
do
if you
is
have
you
the
report.
Media
what you guys do is you report what. Events.
I had this on many occasions.
I used to have Simon Greenberg when he was at the Evening Standard telling me that Crystal Palace's fortunes were better served by having a positive press. Now, Crystal Palace's fortunes were better served by us winning football matches.
It's not just
what you guys get to do is report events.
He is saying, why have you lot got to be so negative? That was one of his quotes. It wasn't actually that. It was just asking him where he thought it went wrong, because plainly it did go wrong. That's not really being negative. That's just asking him, bearing in mind we got sploshed, Eddie, why do you think it happened?
On now to Drive Time, and Darren Bent was alongside Seth Green, and Darren was talking about Jamie Vardy, saying he's one of the best strikers in the Premier League, if not currently the best.
What's it about? Why are the emotions flowing for Vardy right now?
I just think he's playing at an extremely high level. I mean, you'd have to say he's probably playing better
now and more consistent than the year they probably won the title. I mean, he's playing that well. He's getting older, but he still seems to be getting better. I mean, he's top goal scorer in the Premier League with 10 goals already. And he's just going from strength to strength. And I think bringing Brendan Rodgers in, it was key to him as well, because the way they play, getting the ball and beyond quickly, little 1-2s, and having Maddison and Tillemans behind you. I mean, you can't ask for more service. Harvey Barnes is playing really well as well. And as I said, he's getting service from everywhere. And I've played in teams where the service has been that good that all you've really got to concentrate on is putting the ball in the net. And he's doing that really, really well. And he's playing, I think right now, he's probably the best striker in the Premier League.
Best in the Premier League. Okay, so if he was available for England, he'd get in the England 11?
Whether he'd get in the England 11, I don't think so, just because I think Harry Kane is the England captain first and foremost, and when he's fully fit, you'd have to probably say Harry Kane is better than him. And I think the way England played with Sterling and Rashford and bringing players into the game, I think Kane's a lot better at that. I don't think that's one of Vardy's strengths. But to have him there, as I know it's disrespectful to call it, I'd never call him a backup, but to have a choice of Vardy as like second choice striker to Harry Kane, I think would be perfect. Just if we're losing the game and we need a goal, you know that he's more capable of doing that.
I think that's what's annoyed him though, because he was second choice, and actually I don't think he got enough minutes on the pitch in Russia, particularly in the semi-final when we desperately needed a goal and Kane looked like he could barely run, with the greatest of respect to him. I don't think he was fully fit. So that's why Jamie Vardy got fed up with it all. But I'm intrigued by this, because Jamie Vardy, it seems like you can't defend against him. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Jamie Vardy is very, very good at a certain select few things. He's not an all-round striker. Mm-hmm. He's got pace. His movement is phenomenal. He's a pest. Yeah. His finishing is good. So there's a lot of boxes he ticks, but he does, like you just said about the way England play, he doesn't tick all the boxes that maybe somebody like Harry Kane does tick. So if he has got these strengths, why is it not easier for managers to defend against him, to set up, to nullify his threat?
Because it helps that he's got these players around him, because they... Obviously, straight away, you think, right, he's got burning pace. So what you do is you drop deeper. Don't allow him to run in behind. Okay, but you do that, you allow bigger spaces for people like Tillemans and Maddison, who will just carve you apart with their passing. And eventually, when them guys have got the ball, one of the centre-halves are going to come out and have to press the ball, and that's when Jamie Vardy is movement. And I think with Perez as well, being a clever footballer that he attracts attention as well. Barnes with his pace. So I think you can set up to counter-attack, or sorry, set up to stop Jamie Vardy, but you're letting these other guys, these other playmakers, be too heavily involved in the ball. And the moment you then go up to press, they'll just clip it in behind and he's away. And we've seen about his finishing at the minute. It's top draw at the minute.
And now to, of course, the moment you've all been waiting for, the best bits of Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. I know, that's a long title, but otherwise, if you don't say what's written on the tin, you'll never know what's in it. By the way, we're not a tin. Anyway, here are the best bits. Des, good evening to you.
Hello, mate. Good evening, mate. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's nice to speak to you a lot on that. It's West Ham, you know, we had a bit of a, like, that trapping about, or what's happening about home and away games. I mean...
Des, I don't know what you've said so far, but just start again.
Come on, Des. Put yourself together, man. Come on.
What I'm saying is, we're playing games and that, and Palace, we couldn't even beat Palace at home. We couldn't beat Sheffield United at home. We couldn't even beat Newcastle at home. And now we've got to get ourselves together, really. I mean, it's not Pellegrini's fault, really, because, I mean, he's putting the strings out to put the players out in their players to do what they've got to do. And if they're not doing their job, it's not Pellegrini's fault. Now, I don't know what it's all about, that Bournemouth manager coming
Des.
In. I don't know what that Bournemouth manager... What it's all about?
Des, the manager picks the players. He picks the formation, he picks the tactics, and he makes substitutions. Why is it not his fault?
Pellegrini, right, is a winner for Man City, yeah? He puts the players out to do a business, to do the job what they've got to do, our players, yeah? He's a winner, that Pellegrini. And our players don't do what they've got to do, like, you know, who do you blame? You don't blame Pellegrini, you blame the players for not doing what they've got to do.
Thanks, Des.
Cheers, Des.
Cheers, mate.
There you go, Des, the West Ham fan. But there you go, that's it for another podcasty thing. A reminder that if you support Dortmund or Inter, both of you can hear Dortmund against Inter live on TalkSport 2 from 6 p.m. tonight. And of course, it's a busy night in the Champions League. So that means you, the football fan, can have your say straight after the final whistle with me and Funboy from 10 p.m. on the Sports Bar. That's it. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.